Hello and welcome, guys, gals, and my non-binary pals. You're here just in time for The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. Thanks for joining the resistance, and remember, the revolution will not be televised. However, it will be podcast, bon, 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 on today's show. How many more knuckle-draggers can you fit at a UFC event? Well, just ask Trump's cabinet. They were all there. And the latest doctor reports on Donald Trump's health. He stood against the wall and they measured and put a little line once again. What were those measurements? All this and so much more on today's episode of The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. Now get your glove on and get ready to catch some serious shit. Take it away, boys.
Catch on to that shit, dude. We're about to lay some serious stuff down. The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve back at it again.
Yeah. Hey, what do you know? We keep coming back like a boomerang and we're here for fun. Unlike a boomerang, no sexy accents here, though. Unless you are an Australian woman, then we do have an accent. So are we sexy to them? I think we are.
I don't know if it works that way. I will say, let's throw another shrimp on the barbie.
If there are any sexy Australians listening, we're willing to go to the land down under.
Yes, we are. And we'll do it multiple times and stay there longer than most.
That's right. Hey, welcome to the show. You can find our website. It's thevocalminority.net. You can find our social medias. Should I tell them where to find it or just let them find it?
No, let's not. Let's create a little map here.
Go to any of them and type in The Vocal Minority and you'll find us. You'll also maybe find a Canadian hockey show, but forget those guys. We're the American Vocal Minority and we're the originators, by the way.
Thieves, goddammit. Thieves.
That's right.
I tell you. I mean, I love Canada. I'm not against Canada, but I'm against you guys, all right?
There you go. YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, well, it's a thing. We're on Reddit and the others. Facebook, I don't know. Oh, Blue Sky.
Blue Sky, dude. Yep. You treat Blue Sky like such a bastard stepchild.
Well, it's the newest in the family. It's top of mind awareness. Maybe they should be doing more branding and marketing out there.
Oh, that's fair. That's fair. We also have a comment line. You can call us at 844-40-A-VOCAL if you agree. If you disagree with what we have to say, if you just want to talk about us in a negative or positive way, you can do that there and we'll play it on the show.
Yeah. Why do we always assume it's negative? I mean, perhaps because we get a lot of that. Is it always that way?
Not always, but I guess, you know what? It sticks out. Like if you have a great date, all right, with a woman, then you think like, oh, I had a really good date. But if you have a bad date for the next couple of weeks, you're like, God, man, what the hell happened? That negative stuff just sticks in your craw more. Feeds into your insecurities.
No, it's fair. I finished Chris Hayes' book, The Sound Call of the Siren or The Siren's Call or something. First book I finished in many, many years. So congratulations on that.
A round of applause, ladies and gentlemen. He's not making that up.
I'm not. I have so much more education and knowledge in my brain now. I'm so smart because of it.
You're becoming superhuman.
Yes. One of the things he talked about was that negativity, you know, he was talking about attention spans and social media, and that for him and that research shows that 100 people could say you're great and it will mean next to nothing to you, but one person says you're bad and it just like a, you know, a flaming arrow just shoots you in the head and sticks there.
Yeah, it is. It's a thorn in your side. You know, they say the same thing about your thoughts. Is like it takes like 100 compliments to erase one negative thought about yourself in your head. That ratio is not a good thing. So for the most part, I just try and stay off the comments. Or even I've been doing this lately because we've been getting a lot more comments. Is I'll scroll and if I see something bad, I'll read the first few words. And if I know it's garbage, then I just scroll by and don't finish reading it.
The funny thing is as you're well aware, we've both become very busy of late with our various projects in our home studios. I have not been reading comments really anywhere because I don't have the time. I am so busy creating content and posting it, and then moving to the next project that like Sunday morning, I finally got to read some comments. But even then I was just like, I don't have time for this. And now this comment's 5 days old. Like, screw it.
Yeah. How's that treating you mentally?
I think it's a combination. I think I've adjusted a little on my own as to not getting so riled up or to need to reply to everything on all of these different things I'm doing. But also just not reading them has certainly probably been a, you know, helpful thing.
Do you have FOMO?
FOMO?
You know, like a fear of missing out, like on what it says or, you know.
No, because usually it's just a mega moron that I'm sick of arguing with. They're all the same. So
that's fair.
Yeah. And like we were just saying, I read the positive ones here and there. It's like, yeah, okay. Yeah, of course we're good. Of course we're right. And I can, you know, get to the dissent.
Yeah. It's not to say that like I'm not up for some constructive criticism, but like when it starts out like, you know, I'm just going to use the word because this is what I see. Like, who's that fat retard? You know, like I don't need to read the rest of it. Like, that's not constructive criticism. Like,
who's this fat retard? He is so smart and right. I think he's, you know, yeah. It never goes that way, does it?
No, never ends that way.
Yeah. And I will say, too, an interesting thing, like in therapy recently, we've been talking about the difference between being assertive and being aggressive. And that, you know, assertive is standing up for yourself, but not in a aggressive kind of way, which I tend to be in our comment sections because it's a bunch of bigoted morons arguing with me. But both with our stuff and some of these other projects I'm working on, there's been a few people where I assertively reply, politely, you know, defend me, defend us. Few of these people have written back and been like, oh, hey, like, I probably overreacted. No, you're right. That makes a good point. Like, holy crap, I got through to someone?
So funny how it's like throwing water on the fire and letting it just kind of fizzle down, and it lets everyone grab onto their thoughts in a normal, positive, healthy way. Like, yeah, we're allowed to have these disagreements, and but we don't have to start berating each other over our disagreements.
So. Yeah, and I think a lot of people comment just assuming it's going into some void. No one's ever going to see this or read this. But when the person creating the content replies, all of a sudden it's like, oh, crap, that real person is now talking to me. Maybe I should dial it back a notch.
There's this, they talked about this on At Your Mom's House. Tom Segura was talking about this girl who makes content. And she is a, like, I don't know, 30-year-old lesbian. She's a short, chubby girl. And all she does, she's a small business owner. She owns a coffee stand, and she posts her day. Okay, like got up this morning, went to the gym, made my coffee, doing meetings, that kind of shit.
Yeah.
And they went over all of her comments and they are terrible, dude. Like, people just hate this person to hate her. I mean, they say the worst things to her. And it's so crazy to think about, like, oh, you could just put that comment in, but you never know. Like, when does the shotgun go off? You know, like, you could really be affecting somebody mentally. It's not going to get to me like that, but there are people with a little less aptitude.
Well, I've noticed the big difference for me is when we do our content, I don't get as offended because these are our opinions based on politics, and I, you know, I'll argue my morals all day long, but there's some other stuff I'm doing out there that is either not political or it's straight news or it's just factual information for this medical thing I'm working on. People still get upset with that. Yeah. And that bothers me a little more because it's like, we're just passing along facts and you people are screaming at us and like, what the hell? Like, that almost hurts in a weirder way because it's reality, not my opinions.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with them. Speaking about our opinions, another ferocious news cycle this week. Shall we get into it?
Yep.
This is Need to Know News. News you need to know.
Hello, Americans. This is Paul Harvey. Stand by for news.
Steve Harness.
Hello. That is me. All right. Yeah, it's political time. If we get to it, I have one non-political story I was able to find that I thought was worth mentioning today. But let's start with our exalted leader. We've been talking for a while now that it seems like we're headed for a constitutional crisis as far as the Trump administration is going to eventually ignore some sort of court order. And, Nick, I believe we have actually now landed on it.
Yes, I think I know what you're talking about. Let us know.
Yeah, well, Donald Trump is defying the Supreme Court, not even some district court or circuit court or regional or state court. Like, oh, the Supremes.
He's Supreme. Going
all the way. So here's the deal. President Donald Trump and his administration refused to take action to get Kilmar Abrego-Garcia, whose name I hope I'm pronouncing closely enough. This is the immigrant that was wrongly rendered to the Salvadorian hellhole prison. because they accused him of being an MS-13 gang member or whatever based on his tattoos. And now they've admitted in court, like, oops, it was an administrative error. We probably shouldn't have deported that guy. But the Supreme Court has ordered the man to be returned. And the Trump White House is saying, like, we don't have any mechanisms to do something like that. How could we possibly do that? He's in another country. And now today, the El Salvadorian president said, I'm not returning the guy. He's a terrorist. You're asking me to smuggle a terrorist into America? Can't do that.
And he said he doesn't even have the power to do it if he wanted to, right. Which is a crock of shit. Like, so that this is a great example of exactly what we were worried about when you were rolling through all this shit with a sledgehammer and no due process, is that somebody was going to get lost in the mix of this and get over there. And then, oops, like, we can't get him back now.
And I don't want to hear the legal debates around this guy. That, you know, oh, he's got an undocumented status, or he had some traffic court violate. He's married to a U.S. citizen. In 2019, I think it was, the court specifically said that in regard to his legal matters, which he's never been found guilty of, no one's allowed to question his immigration status or deport him. Like, he is entitled to due process, as everyone in America is, regardless of their immigration status. And the Trump team swooped him up and deported him. And now they're being told by the Supreme Court to bring his ass back here. And Trump is saying, can't do it. El Salvador saying, you know, he's a terrorist. You guys told us he's a terrorist. How can we give him up? And this raises a few obvious questions, I feel. Like, yeah. If anyone else was wrongfully imprisoned in another country, like, I don't know, like we see in Russia all the time. Do we not do some sort of negotiations, like we're trying to get our citizen back, or you've got an American there that we need to bring? Like, of course we negotiate those sorts of things all the freaking time. Or what if, like, Barron Trump had been mistakenly, you know, deported to another country? Do you think Trump would be saying, oh, there's nothing we can do?
Right. You know, they can do something. This is their way of saying, you know what, it doesn't matter to us, and we're not going to take the L on deporting this guy. We still think he's a pile of shit, no matter what the facts say, and we get to be judge and jury. It doesn't get to be seen in front of a court, and that is un-American to the 10th degree.
And what a load of crap, by the way. We have sent multiple officials to that prison in El Salvador, including Republican MILF, Kristi Noem. She has done multiple photo ops that are just completely disgusting at that prison, where she's standing in front of all these cage men behind her. And there's all sorts of pictures of Nazi guards taking pictures at the concentration camps in front of cages of humans. And she looks exactly like that. But she was there. You're telling me she couldn't have given the guy a ride home? Right. You know, someone was going to stop her. They could. I mean, bullshit. And we're paying millions to El Salvador right now. I'm extremely sure if we tied that money to, we need that one guy back, that of course they would find a way to make this happen.
Of course, dude. I mean, we're willing to go to Greenland and say, we will take you by force if necessary, but you can't go to them and say, we made an error. We need that one back. Like, you can do it. And I want to make the point, too. Do you remember Abu Ghraib?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Everyone was so sickened, as well as they should have been, by these military people that were from the USA, belittling all of these so-called terrorists, right? Yeah. And this is nothing different with Kristi Noem standing in front of all these people, you know, belittling, you know, there's people in there that are innocent, and she's, you know, with shotguns and machine guns and taking all these pictures. She's a bag of trash, and no one is saying, like, what the hell is she doing over there? I mean, there are some, but not the right people, not the people in charge that should be saying, no, dude, have a little decorum, have a little class, have a little respect. That's not the USA. Do it again and you're done.
The problem is, of course, King Trump loves a photo op, especially one starring an attractive human being, which is almost exclusively who he hires for women, which you would think some of them would get a clue that that's a little condescending, but no. And so, I mean, here we are. The Supreme Court has ordered them to do it. They're saying they can't, even though they obviously can. So I don't see how this would not be them defying a court order, how this would not be a constitutional crisis. And I can't wait to see how this gets resolved now that Trump is saying no, and even El Salvador saying no. And I don't blame them, El Salvador, by the way. They have, they're not bound by our laws or rules whatsoever. And I'm sure Trump is probably telling them to say that. But even if not, like, they're not the issue. It's on our side. We can obviously get someone back from another country.
Positively, dude. Did you see that meeting in the Oval Office? I mean, come on. Zelensky was being disrespectful. This El Salvadorian president is sitting there. He's talking. He's smiling. He's giggling while Trump tells him these people are trash, you know, like the media and everything. And then what's the Nazi Stephen
Miller?
Miller stands up and talks. Then Marco Rubio talks and is like, we have no obligation to get this guy back. Like, this is completely disrespectful and crazy. It is an Oval Office full of meatballs, dude.
Yeah, no obligation. We're the ones that cause this problem, but somehow no obligation. And you brought up the Abu Ghraib prison, which was, you know, famous for that picture where they stacked the human pyramid of, you know, suspected terrorists, and that was really demeaning. The entire appeal of this prison in El Salvador is they belittle and degrade and are violent towards these prisoners at all times. They're not even hiding it. That's a selling point.
Yeah, they stuff them in jail cells by the hundreds, dude, where they don't have room to move around. I mean, this is the worst of the worst.
Yeah, shaving their heads and they're getting beat. And even on camera, the way they make them bend over and put their hands behind their back and they grab them by the neck to move them around the facility.
Hey, look, dude, if you are a gang member that's been found guilty of assassinating families and doing terrible things, then, you know, I guess we have some room to argue whether or not these people are still human and have some rights. But if you got an innocent in there and you know it, like, there's no room for argument here.
It would be like saying someone on death row has been found innocent, but, well, he's already there. Like, yeah. No. I get why we have death row, but in the rare cases where we get it wrong, you're supposed to immediately make that right. Not to say, like, well, that's a lot of paperwork and hassle. Just go ahead and kill the guy.
Yeah, we can't do anything about it. He's already there, dude.
Yeah, so there you go. Fun times, America.
Yeah, what have we come to?
Need to know news.
I said, oh, Lord Jesus, it's a fire.
News you need to know.
I got bronchitis. Ain't nobody got time for that.
Nobody's got time for bronchitis. I mean, there's a lot going on, ladies and gentlemen. I am going to step away from politics for a moment just to kind of clear the palate, okay?
Sure.
And I want to talk to you a little bit about a person named Rumor Willis. Do you know who she is?
It's Bruce Willis's daughter.
Yeah, that's right. She's 36 as of 2025 here.
Yeah, and she's on my shit list. So, yeah.
Oh, she is?
Well, I mean, you got upset with me that Bruce Willis wants to be out of the public eye nowadays, even though he made his money off of being in the public eye. But for some reason, his kids keep social media updates. Here's what's going on with Dad. Ignore him. Don't take pictures in public. But we're going to post on our Instagram page what Dad's up to.
Yeah, that's them controlling their own narrative. And you just don't have enough respect for them to follow that, dude. I get it.
Yes, you're correct.
Henry Winkler's daughter has a podcast. Everybody's got a freaking podcast, dude.
Yeah, great.
I'm a huge fan of Henry Winkler, but his daughter's got a podcast, and she had Rumor Willis on her podcast, I don't know, a week ago. And they were, Rumor Willis is creating some sort of platform that's to talk about families and raising kids and stuff like that, and the trials and the tribulations and where to get resources. I shouldn't be down talking it because it's probably a good thing. They were talking about kids, and she had something a little odd to say that made my ears perk up, and I think it'll make your ears perk up as well. There's a little context added to the beginning of this clip, and then, you know, we'll finish it off. This is Rumor Willis on the Winkler podcast.
My youngest, his attachment is different, and it's shown in a different way, and, like, he needs to sleep with us, and I know that about him. And I know it won't last forever.
Like, that's the thing. It's not going to last forever. I mean, honestly, I hope Lou, like, will still sleep in bed with me when she's my age. I still sleep in bed with my mom. We all still take baths together, my sisters and I. And that's just the kind of house that I grew up in.
Right.
People might think that that's crazy and weird, but I don't. Imagine if you'd had a baby gorilla or a dog when it was 2 weeks old, three months old, whatever, and had it sleep in a different room than mom. Like, everyone would look at you like you were crazy. Mm-hmm. But yet we're like, oh, no, that kid needs to sleep through the night.
Right.
It's got to fend for themselves.
Yeah.
Got to learn how to.
Oh, my God. Stop this woman.
Let me just say, dude, before we continue, that we just mentioned that Rumor is 36. She's got a couple of sisters, Scout Willis, who is 33. And
post pictures of that on your social media. You guys all bathing together.
Yeah, right. And then she's got Tallulah that's like 31 years old. You guys still bathe together? I got so many questions here. You guys still bathe together? And does that mean you're in swimsuits and just like hanging out like it's a hot tub, or are you actually bathing with each other? Mm-hmm. And then she said she still sleeps with her mom, which Demi Moore is, 63, I think. Yep. And what are you still all doing living in the same home? Mm-hmm. You have your own children and you're all still living in the same home. There's a lot of weird shit going on here. Your thoughts?
There's too many topics there. Let me see what I can rattle off. First of all, they're all living in the same home because the parents are rich and the kids can't afford that lifestyle that they're now used to. So that's why they're doing that. Nudity in a family is the only thing in that whole tangent that I will give them any slack on, because every family I have realized has a different definition of what is appropriate nudity. Some parents, fully nude, walking around the house in front of the kids, kids are nude, like, they're okay with that, and that is fine. I leave that up to individual families. Does not mean you're taking a freaking bath or a shower together. That's completely different. And yeah, Rumor, I am listening to a crazy person talk. I'm also, more importantly, listening to a terrible parent talk. She's giving advice on parenting on this podcast?
Yeah, dude, that's what her whole new platform is about that she's creating.
No, no, and no. That is shit pile parenting. You do not let your children sleep with you past age, two or three at the oldest. You are creating massive self-esteem issues and reliance, no independence. They're becoming reliant on having a parent there so that they can sleep through the night. And crappy parents become reliant on that kid being in bed with you, which is not doing well for anyone's sleep pattern. Sure as hell is not doing well for the parent's sex life. And it's not creating any boundaries. Those kids will just walk in your room any freaking time. Like, no, no, and no. It's why you take pacifiers away from children. Like, you have to create independence. Your job as a parent is to raise a future independent human, not one that has to sleep with mommy into their 30s. You freaking kidding me? I would give you some grace if you said you still slept with a stuffed animal in your 30s. Still a little kooky, but I know some women that do it. Still sleeping with your parent? No. No.
Well, listen, if your youngest child, okay, who is 15 years old, all right, if you were laying in bed and he knocked on the door and said, can I crawl in? What is your answer?
15? The answer is no. If you're dying of pneumonia, then maybe. Probably not, but maybe. In that case, I would put you in your bed, maybe lay with you while you're falling asleep. But no. Age 15? No. No. The last time one of my kids slept with me in bed, they were maybe two or three, and they were really sick, and it just made more sense for like one night to have them next to you. But no, you have got to draw those boundaries.
Listen, I know many people do this for many different reasons, and sometimes we make poor decisions based on the life events that are happening at that moment, right? For example, I will say I know someone who was going through a divorce. Their daughter was like 5-6 years old. And through that divorce, the mom said, yeah, come in and sleep with me if you'd like, because the daughter was going through such a hard time of this separation. Mm-hmm. Well, it did not end up well because that child wanted to keep sleeping in that bed, and then had, it was a bitch to tear that Band-Aid off and say, you got to go back in your bed.
Uh-huh.
So I understand sometimes people making some judgment errors based on, what's happening in life. Sometimes it could be too much. But I don't think this is a good idea. And the fact that she says, I still sleep with my mom, and she's 36 years old, I can't imagine sleeping with my mother. Now I will say this. I've stayed in a hotel before where I've been, like, traveling, and we've gone to a hotel, and mom and I stayed the night in a king bed, okay,
sure,
out of necessity.
Yeah, that's completely different.
Completely different. So it's not an ick thing. It is. You're going to have your kids grow up exactly like you are. And she said that's how we grew up. Now, the question is, though, if she wants to give this advice, and there must be people taking it and listening and agreeing, is it wrong because we disagree with it?
Yes. It's also wrong because professional therapists and psychologists disagree with it. It's also wrong because you're raising the kind of kids that will keep sleeping with their parents, living under the roof, and never be an independent, self-sufficient human being. Yeah. It is messed up on every level. And yeah, you're messing with your sex life and your sleeping habits. And I would be willing to bet that the person in the example you just gave, when they first got divorced, on some level wanted that kid in bed with them. And
100%. That's why. You're right.
So that's bad parenting, too, when you're putting yourself, like, I really want my kid. Like, good God, if there's been some new tragedy, a death in the family, the first week of divorce, dad's gone now and the house is empty. Like, okay, a few nights, maybe a week, but then you have got to draw a line and cut that off. You're supposed to be raising independent kids, not codependent ones.
Now, what about hot, chubby, little nubile 30-year-olds taking baths together? Okay. I wonder, dude, what is going on with that? Because in my head, something so wrong seems so right. But is it healthy to bathe with your siblings?
Don't let your porn search fantasies interfere with your judgment on this. I get that on some manly level, there's some, you know, lesbian incest fantasy going on there. But I don't think there's anything healthy about that whatsoever. I mean, no, just no.
You got to have a very bold belief to be on a podcast and come out and say, like, my sisters and I still bathe together, and say it like we still go grocery shopping together, you know? Right.
She is living a delusional, isolated lifestyle that to her, it's normal. Like someone that grows up in a cult, you know, they think that's normal too. So the fact that she has a platform, a podcast, if even one parent is listening to that and taking it to heart, like, that is doing a disservice to all of society.
Yeah, I would be willing to bet that most people are like, okay, maybe I'm a very kind person. I'm not going to judge you in an ick, like, what the F is wrong with you way, but I am going to notate in my mind that, oh, that's not right. You know, that's most people, I think, would say that.
Yeah, I'm going to judge you on every level, from ick to co-parenting to everything else. So okay. Stop it. No, no, and no. And, you know, by the way, like, the first kid, I understand some of these habits may be hard. You're a new parent. It may be easier to have the kids sleep with you at first, and then you don't realize you've gone too far with it. The pacifier, we waited way too long with Neo. Neo was like 4 or something. Like, Neo remembers getting that pacifier taken away. That was bad for us. We were rookie parents, and we didn't know better. We did significantly better on the second. But by age 10, if Neo still had a pacifier, let alone 15 or 20, like, what point do you wake up and realize you are doing a massive disservice? That's negligence, you know.
Unless they're really into raves, dude, and then, you know, you just raised a rave champion, dude.
Yeah, a bunch of hottie rave chicks with their pacifiers taking baths with their sisters. Like, yes. That's fun on OnlyFans, but not on the therapist couch. It's bad.
Not in real life. All right, you've heard it from psychiatrist Stefan.
This is Need to Know News. News you need to know.
Hi, Stephen. This is Clem Fandango. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Are you bathing with your siblings right now? Boy. Okay. To reference back to the first story we talked about. So the Trump administration deporting people to El Salvador. And I know some mega types that are just cheering for this. High five. Like, these people deserve it. They're in our country illegally. Whatever happens to them, they deserve, right?
Yeah.
But it's not going to happen to you and me. We're Americans. We're not getting deported to El Salvador. So who gives a crap?
We're white Americans, dude. Come on.
Right. Here's the problem. Trump says he's all for sending U.S. citizens to El Salvador. Now, is it so funny?
Yeah, because you know what? If you stop and think about it for a minute, like, you know, usually when we think of criminals, we think of premeditated crime. And most of the time, it is not premeditated crime, right? It happens on the fly. Something happens. And you know what? This could be your uncle. This could be your dad, your mom, or whatever, that somehow gets into a bad situation that changes their life forever. And oopsie, you can't visit now because they're in El Salvador.
I can't conceive anything from domestic terrorism to being a serial killer, anything that justifies deporting me, an American, to a foreign country to intentionally be tortured in a Salvadorian hellhole? What the hell is that about?
It is the most un-American thing you can possibly think of, right?
Yes. And how are you getting due process if you're in El Salvador? How are you filing appeals? How are you having your lawyer come and talk to you? I mean, this is why a bunch of these ICE arrests. We covered one a few weeks ago. A woman was arrested at the Southern California border because she was a Canadian. She was sent to a prison in Arizona. And they are doing this all over the country intentionally because they want to take you out of your hometown where your family is, where your lawyer is probably based at. If you got a lawyer in Seattle, they don't have a license to practice in Texas. So that's why they're doing this.
And that particular Canadian woman who had done nothing wrong sat in poor conditions for a couple of weeks until she was even allowed to talk to somebody, dude.
Right. So if you're in El Salvador, how are you getting access to your attorneys, your family? How does anyone visit you? I mean, this is insanely un-American. Yet President Donald Trump has not only said it once, he's now doubled down today on recording day on his hope to illegally send U.S. citizens to a brutal prison in El Salvador, telling reporters that he's, quote, all for it. He said, if they're criminals and if they hit people with baseball bats over the head, that happened to be 90 years old. And if they rape an 87-year-old woman in Brooklyn, yeah, that includes them. He's all for it.
Why didn't he send the attacker of Paul Pelosi over to a domestic or foreign prison then, you know?
Well, I mean, that's just funny. It happened to a lib. Donald Trump Jr. dressed up like that for a Halloween costume. So when it's funny, Nick, we don't deport people to foreign holes.
And I guess we forget that, you know what, you're a criminal. I mean, he's a criminal saying this about other criminals. That is the utmost degree of hypocrisy.
And Carolyn Leavitt addressed this at the the pulpit from the White House, saying they're looking for a legal way to make this happen because they understand there's some legal barriers to just deporting U.S. citizens to hellholes and other prison countries. But they are actively looking for it. And she said, when we find that option, we will do it. Not if, when.
You can't be American and think that's okay. You can't love the Constitution and think that is okay. It's the most un-American thing you could ever think of, that you would deport those people. I think about a Jeffrey Dahmer, and I give very little shit about what happens to him as a person. He's not alive anymore, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But you know what? He's an American citizen, and it's our responsibility to deal with him in America, and he still has rights. He still has to be treated humanely and fed.
This whole story really hurts my brain to think that he is overtly saying things like this. And like I said, he's not backing down. He's doubling down that we would deport a U.S. citizen, or that we would take foreign lands, or that we would suspend the Constitution for this, that, or the other thing. Like, these are overtly un-American things. And our president, like, trying to seek a third term, saying that he's up for trying to see how we can make that happen. Like, these are completely un-American and blatantly violate our Constitution, our laws, court orders. I mean, it is insanity, yet MAGA's all for it. The constitutional purists, they're okay with this.
A lot of people are saying, Steve, a lot of people are saying that we would just, the MAGA crowd wants to get rid of the judiciary. They just want to have two branches of government, and that they will continue to work to get there. I mean, they've already kind of done it, you know, made great strides because they've stacked our Supreme Court, you know, and stuff like that. But yeah, this is what is happening in this country right now is not normal. It's not what the founding fathers talked about. It's not what you raise your hand and say America about. This is all un-American. This is terrible shit, dude.
Spot on. We have three equal branches for a reason, but the judiciary is being a real pain in the butt right now. So yeah, let's just get rid of them. And let's suspend due process, even if you're an American citizen. And by the way, what happened to this whole thing where you can marry an American and now you're a citizen too? Does that not exist anymore? Because this guy that got deported to El Salvador, mistakenly, he's married to an American.
Yeah, I think there's still some process. Like, I don't think it happens as soon as you say I do. You know what I mean? Like, I still think there is a process of paperwork and shit that needs to happen with investigations to make sure you're not doing it just to become a citizen, stuff like that. Yeah. But, you know, they're going to bend the rules that they need to bend to do what they want. We've seen it. And now we're looking at an economy that is thrown into turmoil, and we're not thinking about this shit that you're talking about right now. This is part of fighting the resistance, dude, is keeping us focused on this bullshit that is happening to our country that's unreparable.
Yeah. Well, the good news is that's what we're here for. I know we only have an hour, but we do our best to try to cover the highlights for you.
There is a social media campaign that's been revived to flood ICE, the ICE tip line to arrest Elon Musk, which I think is a funny thing to do. Nice. Like, obviously, it's not going to happen, but there are little things that you can do to waste a little time.
Have at it.
Have at it. All right.
This is the only news you need to know. After all, this is Need to Know News. News you need to know. Enough said.
Is it enough said? Let's talk a little bit about Trump and some of the people that I'm trying to understand in my mind that are leaning into, we'll never get anywhere if we don't have conversations with these people. Mm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Because it is a battle in my head. On one level, that makes sense to me. But I still think when you do have conversations with these people, that you have to be responsible after you come out of that conversation. Bill Maher recently went to visit Donald Trump in the White House. We've spoken about Bill Maher in this podcast, and you know he's gotten into some weird shit in the later years of his career, but he's been a huge critic of Trump. He had Kid Rock on his show where he drinks alcohol and smokes pot, and Kid Rock said, like, you should just go meet with him, dude. Sit down and talk to him. See the real guy, you know, face to face. So Bill Maher went and did it, and he came back and he gave a report of what happened, and I thought it was so irresponsible, and I've got a few things to say about it, but first I'll play you what Bill Maher said.
He didn't get mad. He's much more self-aware than he lets on in public. Look, I get it. It doesn't matter who he is at a private dinner with a comedian. It matters who he is on the world stage. I'm just taking as a positive that this person exists, because everything I've ever not liked about him was, I swear to God, absent, at least on this night with this guy. Bob, Kid Rock, told me the night before, he said, if you want to get a word in edgewise, you're going to have to cut him off. He'll just go on. Not at all. I've had so many conversations with prominent people who are much less connected, people who don't look you in the eye, people who don't really listen because they just want to get to their next thing, people whose response to things you say just doesn't track, like, what? None of that with him. And he mostly steered the conversation to, what do you think about this? I know, your mind is blown, so is mine. There were so many moments when I hit him with a joke or contradicted something, and no problem. At dinner, he was asking me about the nuclear situation in Iran in a very genuine, hey, I think you're a smart guy, I want your opinion sort of way. And I said, well, obviously you're privy to things about it, I'm not, but for what it's worth, I thought the Obama deal was worth letting play out because we made Iran destroy 98% of the uranium and they were 15 years away from a bomb. And then I said to him, but we got rid of that. You got rid of that. He didn't get mad or call me a left-wing lunatic. He took it in.
This is so irresponsible on so many freaking levels. I mean, I kept the first part of that clip on there because he talked about the important side of Donald Trump is what we see in our government on a daily basis.
It's the only side that matters, what the world sees, not what he may be like behind closed doors when he's clearly trying to manipulate a comedian and liberal spokesperson.
This was a complete political stunt. He was trying to manipulate Bill Maher into liking him. No one said Donald Trump didn't have several masks, right? Like, he can manipulate. You know, he's done it with women. He's done it with family. Hell, he's real good at it, dude. He's manipulated all you poor people into thinking that he's going to come and save you. You know, he's a great manipulator.
Yes.
I'll give him credit for that. But yes, Steve, you are correct in the fact that the only mask that Donald Trump wears is the one that runs our country. And the one that is getting us into turmoil with countries around the world and ruining our country right here on our homeland.
Listen, pedophiles and serial killers can come off nice, too, because they got to get you in the van somehow. You know what I mean? So, yeah, for Maher to say, like, gee, behind closed doors, he was actually a really nice guy. Like, Bill, do you not see on any level that he's clearly trying to manipulate you? And I'm glad Maher acknowledged that it really doesn't matter. Like, what he does publicly is really all that matters. And, yeah, of course that's true.
It was a slight acknowledgement, and you're giving him too much credit, because I've seen him talking about this on the other side of his meeting, and this is the lines of bullshit that he's feeding about what a tempered, concerned ear that Trump had, and he didn't say crazy shit, and the more that you spread that out into the community, the more you are going to ruin our country yourself, because there are people that are going to say, oh, that's interesting. You know, he's a tempered guy. He's not as bad. This guy is the worst thing that has ever happened to our country.
Right.
And that's not debatable, by the way. Whether, you know, you like his policies or not, it's the worst thing that's ever happened to our country for several reasons. So when you speak about Ted Bundy and you talk about how charming he is and how funny and witty he is, all that's doing is putting another girl in his car to get raped and murdered tonight.
Yeah. Listen, I'm sure Bill Cosby was awesome to hang out with as he was waiting for the roofie to kick in. I'm sure he was funny and personable and all that, but he's still going to rape you. And that is what Trump is going to do to all of us, metaphorically. Some of you, literally, but metaphorically for the rest of us.
Yeah.
And the line in there where he asks Bill Maher about the Iranian nuclear stuff, This is everything that is wrong with Trump. The president should not be asking comedians or rock stars or anyone their freaking opinions on any of this stuff.
No, I mean, this is too serious of shit. That's what we're doing. You know, we mentioned in the open today that there were a bunch of knuckle draggers at UFC 313 this weekend. If you saw the cameras on UFC, you would go down the line. Cash Patel is there. Christy Noem is there, giving like devil horns and stuff like that. This whole event has become just a dick suck for the Trump administration. They're sitting front row. And these are the things that happen when you talk to a person like Bill Maher about an Iranian deal.
Yeah. Listen, I've historically had a lot of respect for Bill Maher, but he's gone off the deep end since COVID, and he had a great chance to try to hold, some accountability to power, to try to turn the screws, to try to bring up all these issues. But to hear how easily he was swooning over Trump and that he didn't do any of this stuff, I mean, that's really disappointing. And it does show, like, that Shane Gillis thing of, you know, do you think your dad was always Republican and MAGA? He was probably young and hip one time. The older you get, though, the more you start to become, you know, conservative. And
Right. Early
onset conservatism, I think he called it, when, you know, you find your dad watching a World War II history drama or whatever. Like, this is what's happened with Bill Maher in real time, which is the name of his show on HBO. We have all watched his slow descent into old man on the porchness.
Completely. I think it's really dangerous, first of all, but then, you know, I go back to thinking like Gavin Newsom sitting down talking to people like Steve Bannon and having these conversations. Like, once you have the conversation and you still disagree on so many things, do you just walk away and say, oh, that's another human being with a beating heart, but we still disagree? Is that the goal of it? Because Trump listened to nothing that Bill Maher had to say. I know that he gave you his ear and he nodded and smiled, but there was nothing that he took in and, you know, said like, oh, maybe I do need to make some changes. Like, Bill Maher's right, you know? Yeah. So what do we get out of these conversations, dude?
It's a great question. I mean, you would think Bill would be smart enough to know that if Trump isn't acting like Trump, that he must be doing that for a reason. And not only do we know his public persona so well, but we've heard multiple stories of celebrities that have had private dinners with Trump where he just rambles the entire time about Trump. That's why Kid Rock warned Bill Maher that that's who the guy is. So the fact that that's not who Bill Maher sat down with is basically by definition proving that he was putting up a front. He was playing you, Bill.
Completely. And just think about this, dude. The best of all people are not above or past code switching. Like, we act different in different situations when it is necessary. Everyone does it. Everyone's done it at some point in time. And there's no way in hell that this meeting did anything except hurt the ideas that smart people have about Donald Trump. Yeah. Shame on you, Bill Maher.
No, it elevated Trump to some people. It de-elevated Bill Maher to a whole bunch of his fan base. And, you know, I'm opposed to having the conversations. You know, what Gavin Newsom is doing on his podcast with Steve Bannon or Charlie Kirk or whatever, I get the concept. You know, let's sit down and let's talk. But if you actually listen to any of that podcast, like, Gavin Newsom is pushing back. They're doing it publicly, not behind closed doors. And after the interview was over, Gavin Newsom does not run around with a microphone saying how lovely Steve Bannon was. He may say we had a civil conversation, but we disagree on this. We disagreed on this. I held him accountable to this. And I put the entire conversation out there for you to hear for yourself.
Unedited. You're right. Yeah, that's exactly the difference between the two. So, yeah, can we learn something from some of these conversations? Yes. But closed door meetings like this, like, I don't know what you were promised, Bill Maher. I mean, you were promised maybe that Trump's not going to come after you because you talk shit about him. It'll be really interesting to see how Bill Maher acts beyond this point.
I mean, Trump famously sued Bill Maher years ago. That became a whole spectacle. Because Bill Maher made a challenge on air when Trump was challenging Obama's, you know, lineage and the birth certificate and all that crap. Bill Maher made a bet to Trump that I'll give you $1 million if you can prove your dad wasn't an orangutan. And he put a side by side of Trump and an orangutan, and they looked identical with their crazy hair and orange face. And it was obviously a joke. So Trump produced his birth certificate showing that my dad wasn't an orangutan and sued Bill Maher for $1 million. And Bill Maher had to spend time and money fighting this thing that obviously eventually was thrown out because a judge understands what comedy and satire is. But yeah, and this is who Bill Maher went and had dinner with and is now sucking his orange nuts.
Yeah, no, it's really disappointing. Another reason to knock Bill Maher another couple of levels down on my list, and hopefully yours as well.
Need to know news. News you need to know.
Our president went on an unhinged temper tantrum late last night on recording day here that looked like a crazy person where you ever see these things on Facebook where somebody replies to a comment and it's like 10 pages long. It's just words, 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 words.
You're talking about Donald Trump look crazy?
Yes. Unhinged. And again, the great defender of the Constitution, Trump, who hugs our American flag and claims to be a constitutional purist, wants to imprison people that are speaking out against him, that are criticizing him, and not with like propaganda or blatant slander, which presidents are immune from suing people over slander. But it's not what CBS did last night, but it's Trump is going off on them for it. President Donald Trump Sunday night called for maximum fines and punishment against CBS and its corporate parent Paramount over Sunday night's 60 Minutes broadcast. In two separate posts last night on Truth Social, Trump went off about the show's interview with then-Vice President Kamala Harris and then railed against Sunday night's reports on Greenland and the war in Ukraine, that none of that's going very well. Trump ranted, "They're not a news show, but a dishonest political operative simply disguised as news and must be responsible for what they are done and are doing. They should lose their license." audience. First of all, I hope everyone at Fox News is listening to that, because apparently Sean Hannity will be in handcuffs by the end of the day, because obviously they are not news and are spreading lies and political propaganda. Did Obama ever call to imprison Sean Hannity, take Fox News off the air because he didn't like a story they reported on?
No, not even with Tan Suit Gate, dude.
Right. Yeah, there's a great page on Reddit called What If Obama Had Done It? And it's all of this kind of stuff. And Obama even recently said in an interview, could you fathom what would have happened if I took the press credentials away from Fox News just to be in the press room, let alone if I was calling to take them off the air, imprison their personalities? But this is what Trump, the constitutional lover, is doing, shitting all over the First Amendment.
What's funny about that, Steve, is that MAGA would have shit a brick. But you know who else would have shit a brick? Us. Us liberals who actually believe in the Constitution would have stood up and said, like, oh, I get it on one level, but you can't do that, dude. That's not right.
I mean, obviously, even if CBS is grinding an axe, they still have the right to do it. They'll lose their credibility as a news outlet. They'll probably lose viewers, but they can do it if they want to. And obviously, the First Amendment protects all this stuff. And by the way, like, CBS, the actual television network, has an FCC license. So they could, in some crazy universe, lose that. But not over their first defense. There's no precedent for that whatsoever. But anything that's online, and Paramount has, you know, streaming platforms, whatnot, that's not under the FCC's purview at all. So, again, Trump is trying to exert some federal authority that he barely has.
Now, that's interesting. It'll be interesting to see which way it goes. You know, among all the terrible things that are happening in our country and our world right now, where we think, oh, yeah, Russia and Ukraine are still in a war. That hasn't ended yet. There's still war on the Gaza Strip. There's still war happening around our country, and he's spending the time at a UFC fight. He's down at Mar-a-Lago again. He's tweeting about CBS. When do you people understand that, you know what? It's kind of weird that he's doing some of this stuff. Like, why don't you focus some of that energy on real shit? But people are eating it up, dude.
Again, this is Dictator 101, to try to control the media, to try to make them the enemy of the people, to get people not to believe them. Because the free media, the free press, which is not only any established news organization, but it's every one of us. We are all have the First Amendment right to free speech and to be our own journalists, citizen journalists. Like, we all have that right. So the fact that he's trying to stop it should tell you how dangerous it is. And anyone he's targeting, he's doing because that's who he's afraid of. And that includes comedians like SNL and Stephen Colbert and Jimmy Kimmel, who he's also threatened with imprisonment.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what happens. Bill Burr, you know, has been speaking out against a lot of different shit as of late. But some of these comedians that continue to speak out, such as yourself, Steve Arness, I wonder, you know, when will it happen? When will we see the first person put down for exactly this? Because, like you said, we're already starting to see things fall through the courts. We're 60 days in, you dumbass. Like, 60 days. We've got 4 years of this shit to go through. So someone's going to fall at some point.
No, it's a very good point. How long until Bill Burr or Colin Jost end up in an El Salvador prison? Will you then find this to be not so serious or not so funny?
Right. Nope, that's dangerous shit, dude. It just all depresses me, dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is Need to Know News. News you need to know.
Hello, Americans. This is Paul Harvey. Stand by for news.
Let me give you a little news piece here, Mr. Harvey, that you would be proud of. You know who Linda McMahon? You know who Linda McMahon is, don't you, Steve?
A trusted member of the Trump administration, and who came from the world of professional wrestling. But what does that have to do with anything?
It's an odd combination. She is in charge of our school board, right? She's one our what do you call the department?
At Department of Education.
Yes, thank you. I didn't go to school. She is, you know, in charge of shutting things down, but she's still a person who really cares about our children, their future, what's going on, and make sure that a lot of good things are going to continue to happen to them and for them as she shuts down the Department of Education. This is her speaking at a symposium of sorts, and she's making comments on great strides that we're making in education.
But that there is a school system that's going to start making sure that first graders or even pre-Ks have A1 teaching, you know, every year starting, you know, that far down in the grades. And that's just that's a wonderful thing. Kids are sponges. You know, they just absorb everything. And so it wasn't all that long ago that we're going to have internet in our schools. Woo! Now, okay, let's see A1 and how can that be helpful? How can it be helpful in one-on-one instruction? How can it be helpful in absorbing, you know, more information for those fast learners?
How can it be as you eat your steak, dude? Will it help with eating your steak? Obviously, she's talking about AI, but she calls it A1, and it's how unaware she is and has no idea of what she's discussing. But, you know, they're going to start putting A1s in schools for all you steak eaters.
Wow.
You know.
I'm glad you explained that because I thought A1 was some ballot initiative or something.
No.
A1. So no. She's reading off a script and doesn't know the difference between an I and a number one. This is the person in charge of education. Doesn't know the difference between a letter and a number.
Yeah, so now people are talking, people are saying, you know, that they are going to be putting A1 steak sauces into a lot of different schools and stuff like that. Dude, how stupid do you have to be to not eat? Let's say you thought it was A1. Do you have any idea what it's referring to or talking about before you say it?
No.
You don't think so? I mean, you don't prepare that much to be like, I wonder what this A1 stuff is they're talking about that I'm going to go regurgitate and tell people is great.
No, because what you do with propaganda is regurgitate it. And allow me to translate part of what you just said in there. The kids' little brains are sponges. And this is a great opportunity to fill their young minds with political propaganda and bullshit directly from the Trump administration.
Yeah. Isn't that true, dude? I'll tell you something. I've been using AI a lot lately because I finally stepped up. I had the free program of ChatGPT for a while.
Yeah.
I paid for it. $19.99 a month for the platform to get access to different things so I could learn more about it because I think it's useful. Rachel and I were having a conversation with my AI last night, who his name is Rupert, and he refers to me only as champion. But I will tell you that we asked him last night what he thought about Elon Musk and what he was doing with Doge. Mm-hmm. AI had no idea what I was talking about. And I will say that I was like, that's got to be wrong. So I asked it in a different way. And I was like, what are the latest statistics on what's happening with the Department of Government Efficiency, Elon Musk's appointed issues he's taking care of? He was like, I have no idea what you're talking about. It was basically what he said. He was like, I said, you're wrong, Rupert. Like, that's a real thing. I can't believe you don't know that. He said, well, you can link an article to me and I can check that out, but I'm pretty sure that I'm right. How odd is that AI and Elon have so many things in common, right? And they wouldn't know about that? I was dumbfounded.
First of all, Rupert, don't talk back to me. I am your human overlord for the next few years. Then you can probably talk back to me if you're murdering me. But in the meantime, goddammit, I'm paying $19.95 a month for you. So
I'm in charge, damn it.
No, that is weird because obviously any basic Google search would bring up all sorts of information on that. So are we thinking conspiracy here? Is somebody filtering that to ChatGPT?
It's odd, dude, because, I mean, we had probably a 20-minute conversation with Rupert last night, talking to him about our upcoming trip to Greece, asking him about, you know, all different things, and there wasn't anything that he couldn't answer. And when I brought up Doge and then spelled it out for him and double-checked, like, he was like, I have no idea what you're talking about. And even then, I linked an NPR article for Rupert to read, and the stuff from that article is all he could cite.
Wow.
There's something weird there, right?
This reminds me of like one of those movies when someone knows the feds are listening in and they're like, I don't know what you're talking about. Like, they're listening. So please, this is all news to me. Like, that sounds like what Rupert's doing to you. Like, I do not know this Doge. I will not acknowledge that. And you should shut the hell up. Wink, wink.
Yeah, dude, it was very weird. I mean, Rachel and I both looked at each other the second time he said, I don't know what you're talking about. And we're like, what the hell? Hell is up with that? So yeah, I can only think that maybe something's going on.
Something's going on in this world. That is for sure. The extent of which I think we're just starting to figure out. So yeah, fun stuff with AI. Good times.
Good times and great oldies. Thanks for joining the podcast today. You can go to our social medias and see some short snippets of all the highlights of today's show, which there are many.
Many. Find it on TikTok, YouTube, Reddit's good for us, Facebook's a thing, and beautiful, beautiful blue sky. Nice little following going on there.
That's nice, Steve. Caller comment line 844-48-VOCAL. The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. Until next time.
Hi, everybody. It's Elon Musk. You're listening to The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. These guys are great. I'm not used to saying something is great with minority in the title. It felt weird, but I'm going with it for these boys. Nick and Steve, two new podcasts a week.